Goodbye, Mr. Chips. The novel by James Hilton. Dramatized for radio in two parts by Margaret Simpson. Starring John Church as Mr. Chipping. Goodbye, Mr. Chips, Part 1. The year is 1933.
Mrs. Wicked? Mrs. Wicked?
Oh, you called, Mr. Chipping?
Oh, yes. I thought I heard the school bell.
Oh, that's right, sir, yes. They rang it just a minute ago.
Oh, I must have dozed off. Oh, did I miss tea, then?
Oh, no, sir. No, that was the call-over bell.
Oh, only call-over. It's very dark to be call-over.
Well, the evenings are drawing in, sir. Would you like me to close your curtains for you?
Oh, no, thank you, Mrs. Wicked. I like seeing the lights of the school across the way.
Yes, of course you do, sir. Same as I do myself.
Brookfield's been part of my life for so long. Mm. Do you know, Mrs. Wicked, before I dozed off, I was thinking of the bonfire we had here on Mafeking Night.
Were you, sir?
And that was just about halfway through my years at Brookfield.
Oh, I know, sir.
Of course you do. You must get tired of hearing me.
No.
Is that clock right?
Yes, sir. 4:25.
So what bell was that?
The call-over bell, sir.
Oh, yes, you said.
Yes.
In that case, you might bring me a cup of tea before prep, would you?
Of course I will, Mr. Chipping.
Before prep. Some people live by Greenwich Mean Time. But you and I, Mrs. Wicked, we live by Brookfield Bell Time.
Oh, we do indeed, sir. Yes.
We live by Brookfield Bell Time. Has Dr. Merivale been in this week?
No, sir. He said he'd look in this evening. Well, aren't you feeling well?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Mrs. Wicked. I'm very well. I just enjoy our little chats. That's all.
Good evening, Chipping.
Merivale! Come in, dear boy. I'll ask Mrs. Wicked to bring us some sherry.
She's already bringing it, I believe.
Oh, is she? Oh, she's a good woman. Knows my routine anyway. Of course, so she should. She has the school bells to remind her. Do you know, Merivale, I was just saying today, some people live by Greenwich Mean Time, but Mrs. Wicked and I, we live by Brookfield Bell Time.
Yes.
We're like a pair of old sailors, she and I, measuring out time by the signals of the past.
There. I've brought you your sherry, Mr. Chipping. I hope that's right.
Thank you, Mrs. Wicked.
Shall I pour it out?
Oh, if you would, Mrs. Wicked, if you would.
And how is my oldest patient today?
Oh, you know me, Merivale. Very fit.
My dear fellow, of course you are. You're fitter than I am. You're long past the age when people get these horrible diseases, you know.
Oh, you think so?
Certainly I do. You're one of the few lucky ones who's going to die a really natural death. That is, if you die at all, you're such a remarkable old boy that one never knows.
Your sherry, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Wicked.
And yours, Mr. Chipping?
How very kind.
Will there be anything else, sir?
No, I don't think so. Thank you, Mrs.
Wicked. Right, well, just you ring if there is.
You're fortunate in your landlady.
Yes. Yeah, she takes good care of me. Very obliging woman. He used to be in charge of the linen cupboard at school, you know.
Really?
Yes, yes. Till she put a few bob by and bought this place. Of course, this isn't her furniture, you know.
No?
No, no. I bought my own over from my housemaster's rooms when they finally allowed me to retire.
Nice to have your own things around you.
Yes, yes. I think so.
You brought all your books with you, too, I see.
That's right.
A big classical collection you have.
Yes. Well, I was a classicist, you see.
Were you? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Mind you, I must say, I prefer a good detective story to the classical authors.
You do?
Always did. Don't tell anyone, mind you.
I won't.
Wouldn't do if they were to find out after all these years old Chips prefers Inspector French to Virgil. They call me old Chips, you know.
Do they now? They
have done for years. Think I don't know.
I see.
I don't mind. They all think they invented it, but it's been going on for generations.
How long have you actually been at Brookfield, Mr. Chipping?
I came here 63 years ago, dear boy. In 1870, as a tender young man of 22. Do you know, I was interviewed by old Weatherby.
Weatherby?
He was a very fine headmaster here. Well, as fine as you get at Brookfield. Took me a while to realise that, you know, that Brookfield wasn't a top-rate school. Never had been, never would be. But Weatherby was definitely a name in his day.
I see.
Died the summer before I took up my appointment here. In fact, he must have been ill at the time he interviewed me, poor old thing. Do you know something, Merivale?
No.
I must be the only man left alive who remembers Douglas Weatherby. And I'll be gone too soon. And then there'll be no one who remembers him. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yes. What, exactly?
Well, whether any of it matters. When everything's going to be forgotten in the end. You know, Merivale, I look back now on all those problems that were urgent at the time. Arguments that were keen. And I wonder, does any human emotion matter when the last trace of it has vanished from human memory?
If that's the case, there must be a real crowd of emotions clinging to you.
Last home before extinction.
Tell me about old Weatherby.
Well, I came up to Brookfield on a blazing hot afternoon in the June of 1870. Brookfield were playing Barnhurst at cricket that afternoon, as I remember.
So this won't be your first appointment, Mr. Chipping?
No, sir. I've done a year at Melbury.
Like it?
Not a great deal, sir.
Why not? Sounds like another six. It is.
Brookfield has a fine reputation as a cricketing school.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's Barnhurst who are batting at the moment.
Oh, I see.
Only needs a four, that chubby little fellow, and he'll have a century.
Ah.
Do you think you'll be happier here?
Sir?
Than you were at Melbury?
Oh, I hope so, sir.
I gather that discipline wasn't always your strong point there.
Well, no. Perhaps not, sir. Well,
never mind. It's largely a matter of experience. You're a young man, Mr. Chipping, and Brookfield is an old foundation. Youth and age combine well. Give your enthusiasm to Brookfield, and Brookfield will give you something in return. Huh? He's got his century, by Jove. Well, so we'll see you in September then, Mr. Chipping.
Oh, good. Thank you, sir.
You'll take Cicero with the fourth.
Yes, sir.
And the thing to remember is not to let anyone play tricks with you. You've got another chance here. Take up a firm attitude from the beginning. That's the secret of it. The first time you take prep in the big hall, that's when they'll try it on. There's all 500 of them in there at one time. And although they're all decent little beggars individually, as a mob, they're pitiless. How you handle that first prep, that's what'll make or break you.
Who's taking prep today?
That new fellow, Chipping.
Chipping.
What's his subject?
Classics.
Chipus, Chippy, Chipum. Chipporis, Chippy, Chippo.
What's he like?
He's young, got big bushy side whiskers, like old Weatherby used to have.
Probably thinks it lends him dignity.
What should we do to him? Shall we do the desk squeeze on him?
Yes.
Right. I'll start, then you let yours bang at 1 second intervals.
Here he comes.
Good evening, boys.
Good evening, sir.
Be seated. Quietly.
Looks pretty fierce to me.
No, he's as soft as butter. You watch. Now you.
All those boys who let their desk lid slam, stand up. 500 lines apiece, to be done instead of your prep.
Oh, sir, we'll get into trouble with the other masters.
Silence! You, boy, you with the red hair, what is your name?
Me, sir.
I don't see anyone else with red hair, do you?
No, sir.
Well, then.
Collie, sir.
Very well, Collie. As ringleader, you have not 500 lines, but 1,000.
Yes, sir.
What?
Anyone else think it would be amusing to bang their desk lids? Right, then. Sit down, you four.
You said he was soft as butter.
Who spoke, then?
I did, sir.
Name?
Holmes, sir.
Right, Holmes. You two will have the pleasure of a double quantity of lines. 1,000 from you two.
So he was right in the advice he gave you. Mr. Weatherby.
Oh, yes. I had no more trouble from them after that. I'd won my first round, you see. Mind you, he always was a fool, that Collie.
Really?
Yes. Never could grasp the ablative absolute. Not that that seemed to hinder him. He did all right for himself. Went on to become an alderman of the City of London. Made a baronet. Sir Francis Collie. Suppose he must have had more brains than any of us realised.
A late developer.
Yes. But do you know something, Merivale? In 1895, that's to say 25 years later, I had a red-haired boy in my first year Latin class. Used to sit in one of the far desks by the wall. Never used to attend to what I was saying. And wasn't he the son of that first Collie? And when he drove me too far, I used to say to him, Collie, your father was the first boy I ever punished when I came here 25 years ago. He deserved it then, and you deserve it now.
Like father, like son.
But that's not all. 25 years on from that, there was another one. And he was the stupidest of the lot. He had red hair, too.
You've seen a lot of boys come and go.
Generation upon generation. Dead, too, a lot of them.
I suppose so.
The Great War took so many. The middle, Collie, he died in the war.
Really?
You know, Merivale, I often wonder why it is I've been singled out to soldier on, year after year, when so many of the boys I taught have gone. Bit of a joke, really, growing old, isn't it? I never thought to make old bones.
Still, old age isn't so bad, is it? Not when you've got your health.
Oh, no, no, no. I've got a lot to be grateful for. I've got my health. I'm not short of money. I have lots of visitors. A lot to be grateful for. And more sherry, Merivale.
I won't, thank you kindly. I must be off.
Oh, must you? Oh, well, if you must, you must. It's been nice talking to you, Merivale. You must come again.
I shall.
Mrs. Wickett will show you out. Just give a tap on her door.
Oh, so you're off now, Doctor. How do you think he is?
Oh, not bad, considering his age. Nothing really the matter with him, only Anno Domini.
Oh, good.
But that's the most fatal complaint of all in the end.
So it is.
Funny old fellow, isn't he? The school's obviously been his whole life.
Yes.
Still, that's the way it is with a lot of these old bachelors, isn't it?
Oh, but he wasn't a bachelor. No, he married, you know.
Did he?
Yes. But I never knew her. She died before I came to Brookfield.
Oh.
Yes. He told me how he met her once.
What excellent picnics our landlady prepares for us, Braddon.
Indeed.
Though, in my opinion, all food tastes better when consumed within sight of wasp water.
It's a very beautiful part of the world.
It is. I've been coming here for many years now. Shall we be getting along? If we're to reach the top of Great Gable by four.
All right. It's a long way to the top.
Oh, don't tell me it's beyond a young stripling like you, Rowden. Goodness, when I was a young master of your age, I would have been up there and down again by midday.
No, I can do it.
Well, shall we pack up our knapsacks and move on?
By all means. I must say, you seem to have life sorted out, Chipping. Cozy set of rooms at Brookfield and holidays tucked away in a farmhouse up here. I'd never have believed a bachelor existence was so enviable.
Well, I've never seen any reason to change it for anything else, I must say.
You never wished you'd married?
No, I'm very contented with my lot.
You've been at the school for what, 20 years?
26. I don't imagine you'll stay with us as long.
Well, it's promotion, isn't it? One has to move on if one wants to be a senior master.
Oh, I don't know. Comes in time, if one waits. I'm a housemaster now.
Yes.
Well, shall we move?
If you're ready.
This next bit's the steepest, and then... Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear me.
What is it?
There's someone in trouble up there.
Where?
Up on that ledge, to the right.
Oh, yes. By God, it looks like a woman, too.
Yes. She's trying to attract our attention. It's all right! We've seen you!
What had we better do?
Get up there and help her, of course. It's a very foolish route she's chosen. I don't know. These young women, they come out on the mountains. They've really no more idea of how to climb safely than the man in the moon. Look, I'm going up by that gully there. I should be able to drop a rope to her from that overhang on the top.
Are you sure you can manage that?
Of course I can manage it. Really, Rowden, I wish you'd stop talking to me as if I'm in my dotage. I'm not 50 yet, you know.
I'm sorry.
You stay here. Then if I get into difficulties too, you can go down and raise the alarm.
Difficulties!
I know you're in difficulties. Don't worry. I'm coming.
I know,
I'm coming.
Don't panic! I'm being as quick as I can!
A friend!
Oh, do stop shouting, woman. They shouldn't come climbing. They don't have the temperament. Oh!
Oh, my God. He's gone and fallen. Oh, good Lord, he can't get up.
Someone in trouble?
Oh, good afternoon. Yes, there is. Well, that's to say, there are two people in trouble. That young woman up there on the ledge, she appears to be stuck, and my friend who went to rescue her, he's fallen in the attempt.
Well, I can put you out of your anxiety on the first count. The young woman on the ledge isn't in difficulties. She was just waving to me.
She was just...
Kathy wasn't stuck. She's an expert climber. Look, she's gone from the ledge.
So she has. Well, I'd never have believed it.
Now, your friend's quite another matter. I think we'd better go and see what's happened to him, don't you? Follow me.
Oh.
I say, are you all right?
I think so. I seem to have damaged my ankle.
Oh, my goodness. I knew you shouldn't have attempted to come up that way.
All right. Aren't you the young lady who was on the ledge a few minutes ago?
That's right.
But... how did you get down here?
I wasn't stuck. I kept trying to tell you. Are you all right? You're dreadfully white.
It's my ankle.
Oh, you poor thing. Oh, you beat us to it.
Are you hurt?
I think I've broken my ankle.
Oh, I doubt it. Probably just a sprain.
Well, I think I'd better take my boot off and see.
Oh, no, don't do that. You'll never get it on again. We'll bind it up till we get down the mountain.
I haven't got anything to bind it with.
What about your scarf, Kathy?
Oh, gracious, no, we can't use that. It will get absolutely filthy.
Well, that's of no importance. The main thing is to support your ankle till we get down the mountain.
No, please.
I won't hear another word. I insist that we use my scarf. It's my fault you fell, after all. This is the very least I can do.
Well...
I'll tell you the thing that's bothering me.
Yeah?
How we're going to get him all the way down the mountain to Wasdale.
Oh, that's no problem. You and I'll take a shoulder each. Kathy can take his knapsack for him.
Well, what did the doctor say?
Seems it's only a very bad sprain, but I must rest it for a week or two.
You won't be climbing any more peaks for a while, then?
No.
Jolly good thing those young women knew what to do.
Yes.
Because I certainly wouldn't have been able to get you down on my own.
No.
They were expert climbers, I must say.
Yes. Just a pity they had to wave in such a melodramatic manner.
I must say, I thought she was waving all the time, of course.
Really?
Jolly pretty, wasn't she?
Hmm?
The one you were trying to rescue. I thought the other one was a bit on the manny side, but the one on the ledge was very pleasant.
Afraid I didn't notice.
I wonder if we'll see them again.
Oh, doubt it very much.
You won't mind if I go out climbing on my own tomorrow, will you, Chipping?
Not at all.
I don't want to leave you laid up with a sprained ankle. On the other hand, it seems a frightful waste to be up in the Lake District and not to get out on the mountains.
Of course, dear boy. You do exactly as you wish. There's nothing I like better than my own company.
Good afternoon.
Hmm?
Oh, you were dozing. I'm so sorry. I cycled over to see how you were.
Oh. Good afternoon.
How's your ankle?
Oh, a little better, thank you.
May I come in?
Yes, please do.
Thank you.
Forgive me for not getting up.
Of course. Your poor ankle. All strapped up.
Yes.
We never introduced ourselves yesterday. I'm Catherine Bridges.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Bridges? My name is Arthur Chipping.
I'm so sorry about yesterday.
Oh, no reason for you to feel sorry.
Well, Lucy said it was stupid of me to wave like that.
Oh, well, you've more than made up for it. Oh, my landlady's washing your scarf.
Oh, you shouldn't have troubled. It's only an old one.
Well, nevertheless, she's doing it. Oh, do please sit down, Miss Bridges.
Thank you, Mr. Chipping.
You're not out climbing today?
No. Have you visited this part of the country before?
Oh, yes. I come here every year.
Oh, so do I. I love it, don't you?
Oh, yes. I'm very fond of it.
Were you planning to stay long?
Before this happened, you mean? A week or two.
Are you in business?
No.
A solicitor, perhaps?
Gracious, no. I'm a schoolmaster.
Are you? Oh, how exciting. Schoolmastering is so important, don't you think? To be influencing those who are going to grow up and matter to the world.
Oh, must say, I hadn't thought of it like that. Well, I just try to do my best, that's all.
Oh, I'm sure that's the best possible attitude. I'm a teacher too, a governess.
Ah.
Except I have no job at the present.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I don't mind. I have a little money saved up, and it means I'm free to live here and walk and bicycle and read. I like it.
Mm.
I'm sure you like reading, too. Perhaps we could exchange books.
Oh.
I'm reading Ibsen. I've got The Pillars of Society and Ghosts with me, if you'd like to borrow them. But my favourite play is A Doll's House. Do you know it?
Can't say I do.
It's about a woman who's been very spoiled all her life, in her marriage, and how she comes to awareness of this and starts to change.
Ah.
A claustrophobia of conventional morality. I intend never to marry.
Indeed.
Oh, but I'm talking too much. Who are your favourite writers?
Oh, I'm a classicist myself.
Oh, how wonderful. I wish I could read Antigone in the Greek, but I didn't have a classical education.
No, well, girls don't on the whole, do they?
Lucy did. She teaches classics at the girls' high school in Manchester.
Really?
I think my favourite authors are Bernard Shaw and Ibsen.
Ah, you incline to Mr. Shaw's opinions, do you?
I try to. He's such a rational man, don't you think?
Yes.
And he has such a clear mind. He just cuts through the superstition of centuries. Don't you agree?
Yes.
But you're tired. I shouldn't keep you talking like this. Shall I bring you the Pillars of Society? I could bring it tomorrow.
Tomorrow I shall be rather busy.
Oh, shall you? Oh, but of course I won't come if you'd rather I didn't.
Oh, no, no. No, I didn't mean that.
Oh, it's been lovely talking to you this afternoon, anyway. Goodbye, Mr. Chipping.
Goodbye, Miss Bridges.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good afternoon.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon. Or rather, goodbye.
Goodbye. I say, Chipping, wasn't that the damsel in distress from yesterday?
Yes. Yes, it was.
I should have thought she'd have been out scaling the heights again today.
No, I think she was having a rest today.
Well, aren't you a lucky fellow, her coming to visit you on your bed of pain?
Yes.
Is she as nice as she's pretty?
Is she pretty?
Chipping, you don't deserve your luck. Of course she's pretty.
Yes, well, I dare say you're right.
What is she like?
Young, full of radical ideas. She arrived on a bicycle.
Yes, I saw. A modern woman.
Well, I've no doubt that's how she would describe herself, yes. She admires Mr. Bernard Shaw.
I suppose one should have known. Climbing Great Gable yesterday.
Anyway, I should have thought the modern woman might have appealed to you, Rowden.
Me?
Well, you're a lot younger than I am.
Well, I know I am, Chipping, but I don't hold with those sort of ideas. Oh, what a pity. Such a pretty woman, too.
Do I take it that you won't be out on the mountains looking for Miss Bridges any more?
I wasn't looking for Miss Bridges, Chipping, and most certainly I won't be doing so in the future.
Ah.
And what's more, I hope for your sake that she isn't going to make a nuisance of herself round here.
Evening.
Ah.
On your feet again after your accident, I say.
Yes, yes. I'm getting about, slowly, with my sticks.
A fine evening, isn't it?
Oh, it is indeed. The church always looks so beautiful in the evening light.
I like to hear Mr. Spelthorne practising the hymns for Sunday. You're on your way down to Mrs. Butterworth's, are you?
In a little while. I thought I'd sit here on the church wall and watch the sunset.
Oh, well, I'll see you another day, then.
Yes. Goodbye.
Good evening to you.
Oh! Miss Bridges! Miss Bridges!
Oh! Mr. Chipping! You're out and about, then. You must be feeling better.
I am. You didn't bring me the Ibsen, after all.
I didn't want to intrude.
Oh, it wouldn't have been an intrusion. I'd like to read his plays.
Would you?
Yes. Well, in any case, I have your scarf at home, ready to return to you.
Oh.
Where is your friend today?
She went back to Manchester.
Ah. But you're staying on?
Yes. And your friend?
Rowden. He goes in a day or two.
Shall you be lonely, laid up at the farmhouse without company?
Me? No. I'm afraid I was rather ungracious the last time you called.
You weren't ungracious, on the contrary.
I must confess, I was a little surprised by your visit.
Why?
Well, an old fogey like me isn't accustomed to unchaperoned ladies...
Calling uninvited. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, please, don't be.
Anyway, you're not an old fogey.
Well, I'm not exactly a young radical like yourself.
No.
Oh, I'm not against radicalism, you understand. I like to see young people exploring new ideas.
But?
But you must admit, radicalism has cost Europe dear over the past 100 years.
In Germany, you mean?
And France.
But perhaps the old order had to go.
Do you think it has to go in this country, too?
I think there has to be change.
That's what frightens me. I love England, Miss Bridges. I don't want to see her riven by revolutions, such as have happened in Europe.
Don't you mean you love your corner of England, Mr. Chipping? Hmm? Brookfield and the boys who come to it?
Well, yes.
It's a very different England if you're a boy living in one of the city slums.
Oh, I know about that England, Miss Bridges. Believe me, I do. Brookfield has a mission in East London. We support it very generously, the school and the parents. We get regular reports from that mission. I have no illusions that all England is like Brookfield.
Well, don't you think it would be better if more of England were?
Well, certainly I think that.
But that's what I think, too. I think we should keep what's best in old England and change what's worst.
Another visit so soon, Miss Bridges. You do me too much honour.
I promised I'd bring you the Ibsen, and I have.
Are you trying to convert me to your way of thinking, by any chance?
I think all your ideas are dated. You discovered them way back in the 1870s when you were at Oxford.
Cambridge.
I do wish I could go to Cambridge, to the university.
Do you?
Yes. Well, that's one of the changes I'd like to see in this old England of yours. I want to see women allowed to participate more fully in society, to take degrees at the university, to be admitted to the professions.
Do you really feel women are capable of such things?
Of course I feel that. I know it.
Well, I think you underestimate the difficulty of a formal education.
And I think you underestimate the abilities of the female sex.
Very possibly. I haven't had a great deal to do with women.
Have you always taught at Brookfield?
Yes. Well, there was another place, actually. But I left there after a year. Couldn't keep the little devils in order.
Poor Mr. Chipping.
I'm not the world's best disciplinarian now.
And have you never thought of moving on?
Oh, no, no. I'm very happy where I am. I'm not an ambitious man, Miss Bridges.
Catherine.
I beg your pardon?
You may call me Catherine.
Oh, thank you. No, no, as I say, I'm not a very ambitious man. Oh, and even if I were, I don't know that anywhere else would want me.
Why on earth not?
Well, I'm not a very distinguished teacher, Miss Catherine.
I'm no great scholar, you see. I prefer a good yarn, to be perfectly honest. Conan Doyle. I like him.
So do I.
I don't know why I'm telling you all about my weaknesses and foibles like this. I don't normally talk about myself a great deal.
I'm sure you don't. But even if you aren't the greatest classical scholar in the world, I'm sure the boys like you.
Yes, I suppose they do.
Of course they do. But perhaps they think, as I do, that there's great honesty about you.
Honesty?
You're not pretending to views you don't hold.
Oh, no, I don't do that. Why should anyone want to do that?
Because they want to be modern.
I don't want to be anything, really. Only myself.
That's what's so different about you.
Am I different?
You're different from most of the people I know.
Just older, I dare say. Ah, here comes Rowden, back from his hike.
Hello, Chipping old man. Madam?
Though we all met on the mountain the other day in such perilous circumstances, I don't believe you've ever been presented to Miss Bridges, Rowden. Miss Bridges, Mr. Rowden.
How do you do, Miss Bridges?
How do you do? You're leaving tomorrow, I hear.
Yes, I have to visit my people. And how's the invalid this evening?
A lot better.
Well, I'd better be getting back. Goodbye, Mr. Chipping.
Goodbye.
I hope you enjoy the Ibsen.
Ibsen? Doesn't sound like you, Chipping.
Oh, I don't know.
You'll be reading this Freud fellow next.
I hardly think so.
They do look ridiculous, don't they?
Who?
Women. On bicycles.
Well, I don't know about women. I must say, I think Miss Bridges looks rather go-ahead on hers.
You're not going to make a fool of yourself over this young woman, are you, Chipping?
My dear boy, what on earth do you mean?
I think you know as well as I do.
Can I come in?
Catherine, look, come in! How good of you to come and see me through all the rain.
I knew you wouldn't be able to get out and meet me by the lake.
Are you very wet?
A little. Your landlady's drying my cape.
Yeah, come and sit by the fire. Well, how good of you to come.
You already said that.
Yes, so I did. You look quite beautiful.
With my hair all damp.
Yes. And that lovely colour in your cheeks.
Thank you. Rowden left, did he?
Yeah, yes, this morning. I read your Mr. Ibsen.
Already? And what did you think of him?
Well, he's a bit deep for me, I'm afraid.
You didn't like him?
Oh, I told you, I like a good yarn. Nothing morbid or difficult.
I can't see how you can be a classicist with that attitude.
Well, I'm not much of a classicist, really, Catherine. I wouldn't get by anywhere else but Brookfield. I told you that.
Yes, you did. And I'm sorry. I should be pleased you don't pretend.
It's one of my few virtues. Tell me, Catherine.
Yes?
Why do you keep coming to see me like this?
Why? Would you rather I didn't?
Oh, no. On the contrary. I enjoy your visits very much. I just want to know why.
Because I enjoy talking to you. You're gentle and kind. And I feel very comfortable with you. But I won't come if you'd rather...
Oh, my dear, no. You misunderstand me. I want you to come. You must believe that. You've made what was going to be a very ordinary little holiday, for me, quite extraordinary. Give me your hand.
Oh.
You see, my dear, I regard your visit as the most important event of my day.
Do you?
I do. And, my dear Catherine, you may see me as a very foolish middle-aged man, but I think I'm in love with you.
Oh.
I hope I haven't offended you.
Of course you haven't offended me. And I don't think you're foolish at all. Nor middle-aged.
That I undoubtedly am.
Well, if you are, it doesn't matter. Because... Because I feel exactly as you do.
You do? Oh, I hoped you did, but I wasn't certain. Dear Catherine, will you marry me?
Oh, Mr. Chipping. I can't call you Mr. Chipping. Not if I'm going to be your wife.
And are you?
Yes. Yes, please.
May I kiss you?
Yes.
My name is Arthur.
You don't look like an Arthur. What do your boys call you?
Chips.
Then I shall call you that too. May I? Chips.
Oh, Catherine. Of course you may.
I've brought you your hot milk, Mr. Chipping. Oh, is something the matter with your legs?
Hmm?
You're rubbing your ankles.
Oh, yes. So I am, Mrs. Wiki.
Sore, are they? Or are you cold?
Oh, no. To tell you the truth, Mrs. Wicket, I was trying to remember which one of them it was rendered me a very singular service many years ago.
A service, sir?
I twisted an ankle, Mrs. Wicket. I think I told you. And as a result of that, I met and married my wife.
Oh, I see, sir. Yes, you did tell me.
Oh, is that my milk you brought me?
Oh, yes, sir. Shall I put it down here, sir?
Oh, thank you.
There you are. Now, don't forget to drink it, will you?
I can't remember which ankle it was.
Can't you, sir? Well, it's a long time ago. Will there be anything else, sir?
No. Thank you, Mrs. Wicket.
And you are all right? You don't want me to help you up to bed?
Oh, no. Thank you, Mrs. Wicket. I shall just sit quietly here for a little while. Till the fire dies.
Oh, Chips, you can be so funny.
Well, in you, my love, I have a responsive audience.
Are you nervous of starting the new term at Brookfield with a young wife?
A little.
I am. I feel rather like a new boy beginning his first term with you. Not scared, but just for once in a thoroughly respectful mood. Shall I call you sir, do you think? Or would Mr. Chips be the right thing? Mr. Chips, I think.
Not in front of the boys, I trust.
I shall.
Cathy, my dear, Mr. Chipping's cab is at the door.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Nellie.
So, till tomorrow, my love.
Till tomorrow. This is our last farewell.
It seems strange that tomorrow we should be married. And a little unbelievable.
Goodbye, Mr. Chips. Till tomorrow.
Do you hear Chipping's gone and got himself a wife over the school holiday?
Chipping? Never.
Yes. Wouldn't have thought he had it in himself.
What? Some little widow with a few bob put by?
Apparently not. Apparently she's just a slip of a girl. Well, Radden's met her.
Has he? Radden?
Yes?
Come and tell all about the new Mrs. Chipping.
Ah. He met her on Great Gable.
On what?
It's a mountain. In the Lake District.
He thought she was stuck on a ledge and went striding up the mountainside to rescue her.
Rescue her? How very gallant.
But of course, being Chips, he fluffed it. Fell and twisted his ankle.
So she ended up carrying him down the mountain.
And from then on, the poor old thing didn't stand a chance. She set her cap at him, and that was it.
So, what's he like, our mountaineer?
Oh, she's pretty enough. But he'll have his work cut out keeping that one in order.
Oh.
She rides a bicycle.
A bicycle?
And she reads Bernard Shaw.
Hey, gosh, a radical.
And Chips knows all this.
She had him reading Ibsen, if you please.
I don't believe it.
Did he understand it?
Of course, he's making a complete fool of himself. A woman like that, she'll lead him a dance, and then she'll divorce him within a year or two.
Hey, everybody! Mr. Chips has got married!
Mr. Chips? Mr. Chips is too old.
Of course he isn't. My uncle just got married and he's 60.
How do you know, anyway?
My cousin told me. He used to be at Brookfield. He met Mr. Chips in London. He said his wife's young and pretty.
What's she doing with Mr. Chips, then?
Shh! He's coming. And he's got his wife with him. See? I told you.
Ah, good evening, boys.
Are all the boys from Anstruther House here?
Yes, sir.
I hope you all had a good holiday.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Now, as you all know, this is to be my first term as housemaster of Anstruther. I hope that we're all going to get along together. I want the new boys particularly to feel that they can come to me if they have any problems. There is someone else who is new this term, to Brookfield and to Anstruther.
I told you, he's blushing.
I want you all to meet my wife. Mrs. Chipping will be living with me in the schoolhouse. I want you boys to show her every courtesy.
Yes, sir.
I think you wanted to say something, my dear.
It's just that I'm delighted to be here. Mr. Chipping has told me such a lot about you all, and I'm sure all the names will soon mean something to me. I'm honoured to be part of Brookfield School.
Hooray!
And I intend to be a strong supporter of Anstruther House.
Hooray!
Three cheers for Mr. and Mrs. Chipping. Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Come on, Brookfield!
Come on, Brookfield. Patterson, run!
You're a very loyal supporter of the school soccer team, Mrs. Chipping. Out watching a match on a bitter day like this.
Oh, it's not a bad day, Mr. Barker. Cold, but at least it's bright.
Yes, well, there is that. And you're clearly one of the hardier members of your sex.
Am I?
Though none the less charming for that.
I think you might find most members of my sex hardier than you suppose, Mr. Barker.
Oh, Brookfield, yes, come on!
Get out there, Nichols!
He scored! Well done, Nichols!
Are you enjoying your first term at Brookfield, Mrs. Chipping? Not too quiet for you?
With excitement like this afternoon's? Certainly not.
You've had an excellent effect on our Mr. Chipping, if I may say so.
Oh?
Yes, he's mellower since he met you. Jollier, funnier. To be quite honest, he was turning into something of an old pedagogue. Oh, he was always a decent teacher, hard worker, but not the stuff that makes for great popularity or stirs affection.
I find that hard to believe. He's very popular now.
Who can tell me about the Lex Canulaia? Elton?
It's the law passed to allow patricians to marry plebeians, sir.
That's correct. So you can imagine, in Roman times, when Miss Plebs wanted to marry Mr. Patrician, and he wanted to cut and run, he might easily say to her, "I'm so sorry, my darling, but I can't marry you." But she, being a determined young hussy, would say very firmly, "Oh, yes, you can, you liar." Oh, well, time has caught up with us. Pack up your books, lower four. I'll see you tomorrow.
What are you doing, Chips?
I'm drafting a letter about the East London Mission.
That's the place you told me about that Brookfield supports in the East End.
That's right. It's time for our annual appeal.
You just send money every year, do you?
That's right. We all contribute, parents, boys and staff. The parents in particular are most generous.
And do you think that's enough?
Enough? How do you mean, my dear?
Well, it seems a very easy way out to me, sending a cheque once a year.
Well, I don't understand, my dear. I should have thought you would have approved of a charity of this kind.
Oh, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't do it, Chips. It's just, well, it seems so impersonal. Have you never thought of inviting them here?
Inviting them here? To Brookfield?
Yes.
But they're slum boys, my dear. We couldn't possibly have them at Brookfield.
But why not? Has it ever been suggested?
Well, no, I don't believe it has.
Well, why don't you suggest it, Chips?
What, to the rest of the staff?
Yes.
Well, I really don't think...
Oh, do stop being such an old fuddy-duddy, Chips. England isn't always going to be divided into officers and other ranks. Those East End boys are just as important to England as Brookfield is.
Preposterous! Absolutely preposterous! I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life.
It's his wife's idea.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's asking for trouble. To have a group of boys, as likely as not, they're proper little hooligans. But to bring them here, to show them Brookfield, well, it's bound to excite all sorts of feeling, not least among them envy.
Well, not necessarily, Whitby.
I'm not even sure our lot could be trusted to treat them civilly. They might make them feel inferior and uncomfortable than the mission boys.
Of course. We'd be laying ourselves open to incidents of every sort.
The mission boys belong at the mission. We know that, they know that. But bring them here and they'll be completely unsettled. Before we know where we are, they'll be getting all sorts of ideas about their station in life.
Exactly. Any tampering with the social order and you're on your way to the sort of chaos we've seen in France. And Germany.
Well, I hardly think a soccer match is going to lead to the barricades, gentlemen. All I'm suggesting is that once, in our 30-year history of supporting this mission, we invite the boys here for half a day. If it's the disaster you all say it will be, then we don't repeat the experiment. What do you think, Headmaster?
You seem very much set on the idea, Mr. Chipping.
I am. Why, it might even be an experience from which the Brookfield boys would benefit.
Oh, well, I hardly think that. Well, however, if you are so convinced the idea is a good one, and if you are prepared to organize it...
Certainly, Headmaster.
Then by all means, go ahead.
Here they come. I can see the train now.
Dear, oh dear. I hope this isn't going to be a disaster.
Of course it isn't, Chips. What on earth can possibly go wrong?
Well, it's going to be so embarrassing if we thrash them at soccer.
Has it ever occurred to you, my love, that the Mission boys might thrash Brookfield?
You don't really think that will happen, do you, Cathy?
I can't see why not. Just because one is poor doesn't mean one can't kick a ball.
Yes, but the Brookfield spirit, Cathy.
Well, they might have something just as good, if not better.
But if they were to beat Brookfield, oh my goodness, that would be too humiliating. You don't really think they might?
I've no idea. But I hope they do.
Cathy.
Here they are, in the second carriage.
Right, lads. Remember what I told you? I want no messing this afternoon. That clear?
Would you care for a sandwich?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you have this sort of tea every day?
Only after matches. More tea?
Yeah, I will, thanks.
Do you live at the Mission?
Yeah, I do. Well, my dad got killed down the docks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my mum doesn't keep too well. She's got four other children to see. Why are you here?
Well, it's just school, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
But you've got a mum and dad, have you?
Yes, oh yes.
They all have here.
Not all of us. Patterson's father's dead. That real silver, them cups.
Yes.
Must be worth a bit.
I suppose they are. Some cake?
Yes, please.
Are you all enjoying yourselves?
Yes,
Mum. Chipping. Who's she?
They told us when we come here. She's married to the old geezer. I want to arrange this.
Oh, nice, isn't she?
I walked round the school with her, I did, when they were showing us round.
Did you like the school?
Yeah, it's all right. And I've got a nice garden, ain't ya? All them football pitches.
Well, your little tea party looks to have been something of a success, Chipping.
Thank you, Headmaster. Yes, I think it's gone quite well.
Have you enjoyed it, Mrs. Chipping?
Very much indeed, thank you, Mr. Meldrum.
Held their own quite well, didn't they? 7-5, I believe we won.
Yes.
Of course, it was only one of our second 11s. But still, they did very well for city boys. You seeing them to the station, Chipping?
Yes, Headmaster, with Mrs. Chipping.
Oh, well, you make sure he doesn't toddle off on the train with them, Mrs. Chipping. All this enthusiasm for the Mission. We need him here. Forward-looking young fellow like him. Do you know, Mrs. Chipping, I didn't know he had it in him.
This has been a real experience for my lads, Mr. Chipping. Like I said, my boys have felt very proud of Brookfield for a long time. It's done them good to see the place.
Yes. Well, I know our boys got a lot out of it, too. We must try it again sometime. Make it a regular fixture.
Oh, do you think we could?
Oh, I'm sure. You see, Mr. Bryce, my view is that your boys are every bit as important to this old country of ours as my boys are. Well, times are changing. England isn't always going to be divided into officers and other ranks.
Oh, my view's exactly, Mr. Chipping.
We have to move with the times.
So, have you enjoyed yourselves, boys?
Oh yes, ma'am.
Here, you boy. Where did you get that scar from, lad?
One of the brookies given me, sir.
I did, sir.
But then I'm sure it's all right.
Well, I hope so.
Here, ma'am. I picked you some poppies, ma'am.
Oh, that's sweet of you, Billy. It is Billy, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Billy Deacon, ma'am.
Thank you very, very much.
How do you know my name, Mum?
Well, you told me after the match.
Can you remember mine, Mum?
Albert Smith.
You got good memory, you have.
And you're Peter Hankin. And you're Georgie Hall.
What's mine, Mum?
Freddie Parker.
What's mine?
Do you know something, sir?
No.
This is the best day I ever had in my life.
That was excellent. Thank you, all of you. Play as well as that at the school concert and the parents will be most impressed.
I didn't take the Allegro too fast.
Oh, no. At least I didn't think so.
No, neither did I. And Mrs. Chipping played the Andante section beautifully.
I thought so too, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, well, you two boys can go now.
Thank you, sir. Oh, would you like me to carry your cello over to the schoolhouse, Mrs. Chipping?
Oh, that would be very kind.
It's all right, thank you, Collie. I'll escort Mrs. Chipping over to the schoolhouse.
All right, sir.
Good night, Collie.
Good night, sir. Good night, Mrs. Chipping.
Good night, Collie. And Jenkinson.
Good night.
You realise half the boys in the school are in love with you?
Oh, hardly, Mr. Barker.
Well, not that I blame them.
Ah, you have finished.
Yes. Hello, my love.
Only just.
I came to help you over with the cello.
Oh, you shouldn't have troubled. I'd have brought her over.
Oh, well, I'm here now. Ready, my dear?
Yes.
She played very well.
She always does. Well, my dear?
Yes. Good night, Mr. Barker.
Good night, Mrs. Chipping.
It's a beautiful evening. A harvest moon.
Mm. Oh, doesn't Brookfield look wonderful in the moonlight?
Mm. It always does.
You are sweet coming to meet me, Chips. You shouldn't have bothered.
Oh, I wanted to. Anyway, I don't want you carrying your cello. Not now you're with child.
I'm only just with child.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I want to look after you.
Silly old Chips. I'm not an invalid.
I know. But you need looking after. You mustn't do too much. We'll certainly not carry your cello.
Darling Chips, childbearing's a perfectly normal function, you know. And as for carrying my cello, I'm overrun with offers.
Of course you are. Half the boys in the school are in love with you.
That's just what Mr. Barker said.
And not just the boys. Barker can't take his eyes off you when you're playing.
Oh, Chips, come.
Well, it's true. Not that I blame him, because I can't either.
Chips.
Do you know something, Kathy?
No. What?
I think I'm the luckiest fellow in the world to have married you.
Oh, thank you, darling Chips. But what you don't seem to understand is that I feel exactly the same way about you.
I know. I can never understand why.
Oh, Chips. I don't know what I've done to deserve such happiness.
Oh, Mr. Chipping, look at you.
Oh. Yes, Mrs. Wicket?
Well, it's past midnight. You haven't drunk your milk and the fire's out.
I was just sitting here thinking, Mrs. Wicket.
Would you like me to bring you some more milk? Hot?
Oh, no, please, don't trouble.
Oh, no, it's no trouble. Now you go up to bed and I'll bring it up to you.
Very well, if you insist. But I like sitting and thinking, you know, Mrs. Wicket. You have a lot of memories when you get to my age.
Yes. But you can think just as well in bed, Mr. Chipping. Now, up you go.
Yes, Mrs. Wicket.
I think I'm the luckiest fellow in the world to have married you.
Oh, Chips, I don't know what I've done to deserve such happiness.
And so ends part one of James Hilton's novel, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, dramatized by Margaret Simpson. John Church was Mr. Chipping. Kathy was played by Lonnie Cockerell. Mrs. Wicket by Catherine Parr. Dr. Merivale, Lewis Stringer. Rowden, Alary Cotter. Lucy, Hilda Schroeder. Barker, John Bott. Whitby, John McAndrew. Weatherby, Godfrey Kenton. Meldrum, John Forbes Robertson. And Bryce was Hayden Wood. The Brookfield boys were Adrian Breeze, Matthew Emerson, and Ian Land. And the Mission boys were Paul Beardshaw, Colin McDonough, and Stuart Sampson. Goodbye, Mr. Chips is directed by Graham Gauld.